Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's go.
Let's do this.
Yes, sir.
We are Yeah, America. Welcome to this amazing Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is December the 13th, and we are so excited to join you again. Missed you, JQ, last week, so glad to definitely have you back. And, you know, again, apparently we ran out of advertisers this week, man, you know, but we're going to come back to that for sure, man. It's been a craziness, you know. But, again, we're going to sew it around and check in with the fellas as we always do, as everyone would get settled. And JQ, how are you feeling this evening, man?
Oh, man, I'm good, bro. I am good. I'm ready to go cheer my Rattlers on this Saturday at the Celebration Bowl. Taking the family down to that. Hopefully they beat up on Howard. Get to see some good some musical performance at the halftime show. Looking forward to all that. You know, hanging out, catching up with some people. So, looking forward to it.
That game here in Atlanta?
It is. Has to be tonight.
Mm-hmm. We're about to call a big money JQ once again, too, but that's good stuff, man. It's always Atlanta. And,
no, bro. And, no tweet action this weekend. I'm sitting with the regular people this week.
Oh, man, that's rough, man, right there. Man, I know how that is, man. We used to love whenever in Indianapolis they used to have the Circle City Classic, and that was amazing because, you know, the band and whatnot used a whole other type of experience, man. So good times, man. Have fun for sure. Rob Ford, how you feeling, man?
Yes, sir. Man, feeling great, man. I'm ready to do this. Let's get the party started. I got my asparagus in today, lunch and dinner, so we good.
I knew it was coming.
You sick bastard, man.
Tonight I had it with a Philly cheesesteak, though. I did something a little different with it.
That cancels it out, Rob. You know that, right? The whole asparagus. I'm just saying, that basically cancels each other out if you have asparagus with Philly steak. That's not how you do that, man. So that's why. You know,
so instead of asparagus with it.
There's a condition for people that love the way that their pee smells whenever they take asparagus. There's actually something for that, man. So I just want to let you know, man. You're part of that group that just loves to eat asparagus because they love the smell of the pee, man, with it, man. It's kind of weird, man. It's kind of sick, man. You were kind of joking. I mean, again, we kind of space it out. You know, it's good to have, man. But, you know, whenever me and Gary send the pictures, like, yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, we eat asparagus, but not every single day. That's something we got to talk about.
I don't eat it every day either. Mostly every day.
Okay.
You may not eat it every day, but you eat it 10 times a week.
That is pretty accurate, Gary.
Correct.
Oh, man. I do love, my favorite is like Marcy makes it all the time. It's a little mozzarella salad. That's one of my favorites. Should be basil, a little, you know, tomatoes, a little mozzarella cheese. That's me. I love that salad. I can eat that every single day. So that's
a little
my
balsamic
week.
On it?
Yeah. A little balsamic vinegar.
He's one of my weaknesses.
Good stuff, man. Sometimes we do like a little, you know, she makes it a little healthy sometimes too. But that's me. But again, it's not like every day I'm like, hey, guys, here we go. Balsamic. Boom. Gary, how you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Ready to get this party started tonight.
That's it? That's all you got?
That's
now, yes, one more thing. As you can see, you know, Rob, he's always talking about the chandeliers, right? Well, if you look right above me, right here in the mirror, you can see the chandelier. Mm-hmm. I just noticed that. I was trying to adjust the light so you couldn't, That's what I was doing. But I figured I'd point it out. There it is, right there.
That's
funny. I take that back, America. We are now sponsored once again by Gary Chandeliers. It's back. You know, that's our endorsement.
Yep.
So, again,
Chandeliers.
Anything that you need, Gary is your guy. So, again, Gary the man,
putting stuff
email
on
him.
Man.
He will take care of you. Ask an older man, Gary. How about that? That's what we do. So it's all good. Oh, man. We're just having fun,
yeah.
Man, with you. We got a lot of
resemble that.
Again, America. We all do it sometimes, too. So it's all good. Hey, let's talk the numbers really quickly. We want to throw out the numbers for the show. It's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on X at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And Facebook.com/TalkingSports12Man or 12Man Sports. You'll find us as well. Post content, anything that we have related to Talking Sports and Sports Talk, we're going to post that on the Facebook page as well. So I wanted to get that in there really quickly because we got a lot of things to talk about. And right off the jump, you know, again, the habitual line stepper, Draymond Green, is ejected again. And does he deserve another suspension? Of course, no brainer. Absolutely. You know, again, that dude is—he's just been going a little nuts, going crazy. We'll go around the horn. I was looking up some things too, and I was going to ask you guys: who do you guys think has the most ejections in NBA history? Who would you say if you had a guess? The most NBA
Rasheed Wallace
ejections.
Yeah, I was about to say Rasheed Wallace. That's what I was thinking too.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking,
Wallace
too.
He leads it with 29. Who do you think is second?
Yeah.
I think is second.
Draymond Green
is second. Third, you got a tie between Dwight Howard that was 17. Yeah, it's crazy. And then obviously Anthony Mason was tied with Charles Barkley. And it's crazy how you go down the line. And, you know, Shaquille had 14. DeMarcus Cousins, your favorite guy there, Rob. And Kenyon Martin and Dennis Rodman, as well as Reggie Miller, are kind of like in that kind of like top 10, if you will, as far as number of ejections.
As far as Dennis Rodman is not higher.
Well, that's pretty crazy, too.
Yeah, really.
And as far as the most fines, if you will, like, you know, so this is interesting. I was going to say who has the record for the longest suspension in NBA history. That is actually Ron Artest, because he was suspended for 86 games for the Palace, right?
That's right.
Well, that's
so,
not his name anymore. What's his name again?
Yeah,
this
Metal World Peace. Metal World Peace.
Metal.
Yeah. So he's got the longest one. So we'll see if Draymond will.
Mama name is Ron. I'm going to call him Ron.
I'm going to call him Clay. So, I mean, again, I think it's a no-brainer, you know, as far as he's been habitually set, you know, and There's kind of this kind of cool because it's kind of the situation too because I was looking at like you know the villain that he is becoming because I guess Bill Laimbeer kind of had the same type of reputation right as being this villain type of player too but I don't think he got that many fights.
Rick Mahorn,
Draymond had too and but again this is that physical style and sometimes you compensate for you know Bill Laimbeer was a skilled player so how you get you know you get ahead I mean you know you want that person on your team but just. He's like, the game is mental. If I can get you out of your game, I'm going to do whatever I can, poke you, you know, whatever. And it's a different game back then as opposed to now. And maybe Draymond's trying to bring back shade of that. But, again, you're doing it the wrong way, my guy. You can't be choking people. You can't be, you know, hitting folks in the face, hitting folks in the nuts, stepping on people. I mean, this dude is just like, this dude is crazy. And so, obviously, you know, the Mike Dunleavy.
He's just playing 80s basketball.
Okay. Well, I mean, like I said, it's that's a good statement, Gary. I mean, it's like, are the people too soft now, or is it like, you know, yo, he's getting away with stuff? I mean, it's open conversation for sure.
No, man, he swung and hit that dude right in the face, man. Come on.
I mean, spinning backhand.
Now, the question is,
Nurk's big nose just got in the way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
He needs counseling.
Let's face it, Nurk has been knocked down, hit in the nose. I mean, when he was a Blazer, it seemed like every other week someone was knocking him down, hitting him in the nose.
Wow.
So Draymond was just you know, just accidentally swung around. And,
accidentally? Okay.
Yeah, accidentally on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
His fist ran into my face. I don't know. Just, you know, his face ran into my fist. Yeah, you know, whatever. How you want to do that? You know, no.
You're
good.
Out of here.
I mean, that's just how it is. So, again,
he's suspended indefinitely. So how long do you all think he should be suspended?
Indefinitely, man. I was watching the Lakers and the Spurs when Steve Smith and they were talking about it. Like, man, that's the first I've heard about indefinitely, where they just don't give you a number of games. So I'll let you know that he's got some hoops to jump through and some hurdles to climb over, right, from the NBA. I mean, at some point, when a dude keeps being a habitual line stepper, he's already been suspended for 5 games this year. And then you go through and say, it was bad luck and I was trying to sell a call. No real contrition. I mean, he apologized, but, I mean, if you watch that clip, that interview, it was a terrible look for Draymond.
Yep.
And at some point, you got to put your foot down to make a dude realize, hey, we're not going to keep tolerating this. So he might be looking at, like, 20.
I think so, too. At minimum, 20 to 25. He needs a Ja Morant kind of suspension. Somewhere
yeah,
in that 20 to 25.
Yeah.
The first suspension, he should have got at least 10. And the NBA only gave him 5. Now,
so let me ask
like
you guys
this.
I was thinking 20 as well in my head. And, you know, that obviously puts a dent in his pocketbook, of course. But then what does the NBA – when does the NBA do? Do they make him take a anger management course, or what can they do? Can they, impose something like that?
He's going to
be taking some counseling and some other things, and they're going to wait until I think the team and the NBA is going to come to an agreement when they feel like he's ready to come back into the league. So so they are going to counseling / anger management. I think that's probably a good way to call it. Yeah. But I think it's going to be at least 20 to 25 games personally.
And
or longer.
I think another piece of that is, outside of the counseling, is to not only just to send a message to him, but also to the Warriors. Like, y'all aren't doing enough internally, coming off all the stuff he's done and the pool punch. And then this is also a message to the Warriors that we know you need him, and he's a vital part of y'all team. And we need y'all to get him together and talk to him as a unity. I don't know what y'all are doing. If y'all are saying, hey, you are an enforcer, so you give him that, like, that wink-wink, like, you're our enforcer, so we're going to say that we're really mad at you, but we're not. I think this is also a shot at the Warriors that, hey, man, get your house together. He's your player on your team. Y'all need to help him with this. Y'all need to get together and get around him and say, hey, man, we aren't going to allow this as an organization. So it was like the NBA said, if y'all ain't going to do it, we will. And in this time, y'all need to come up with a plan outside of the counseling of a structure and talking to him and saying, hey, you're a detriment to this team, to our hopes of being at 500, and at least a 500 is not the playoffs. Like, this is about the Golden State Warriors, too, to me, from the NBA. Get your house together.
Right.
And if you're the Warriors, right now you're 10-13. You're in 11th place in the Western Conference. You know, so you haven't been playing that well with Draymond Green, right? And if you're the Warriors, you're saving over $550,000 in taxes that you have to pay against the luxury tax without Draymond Green playing. So if you're the Warriors, keep that joke out as long as
No, man, you gotta have it. They ain't thinking about that. Joe is rich. Joe wants to win, and that's why I like
him
as an owner. He's gonna spend the money to win. Yeah, I know. But the thing about the record, though, is he's already missed those 5 games from the other suspension, right? So that plays into why they're 10-13. So you can't put it fully blame on and say, hey, they've had him, they're playing bad, because they really haven't had him outside a couple games with injury and getting a 5-game suspension. He's hurting them with that, and like I said, they are the same Golden State, y'all. If you care about him and you want to be a part of your team, you got to do something about him to help police him. We're tired of doing all the policing. Help Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, you know, leaders on that team. Y'all need to get y'all homeboy in check and in order. So I think it's about Draymond, but I think it's also about Golden State and the management.
But they are.
Well, if I were somebody like Steve Kerr that played for
Draymond.
If I were somebody like Steve Kerr that played for, you know, Phil Jackson or whatever, I'd be giving Phil Jackson a call and say, hey, listen, I know you had your dealings with Rodman, and I know you had to kind of keep him in check, and, you know, we have these sort of issues. Give me some advice here, you know. That would be a good one. That would be a good one that I would go to.
Shit, he was there.
Yeah.
So he should know.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in there.
But, yeah, obviously, I'm going to say it's a little crazy, right, because you think about, like you said, Kerry going back and that style of basketball was kind of, you know, it was definitely praised because there's no more Charles Oakleys in the world, you know, even the Anthony Mason, you know, the Grandma Ma's, those type of physical, Xavier McDaniels, you know, they had a role. You were the enforcer. You were a rebounder. And
Morning.
I mean, it's just a different style of basketball now that, yeah, like you said, Alonzo Mourning, there's a couple players that comes into play too. But even from that perspective, even as much as you hated Dennis Rodman's tactics, that dude was a phenomenal, he was a smart player. You know, you get defensive rebounds. You know, he'd play for Prodigy. I mean, and
he knew how to tip the ball to himself just to get the rebound.
Man, Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. He used to just frustrate Dennis Rodman used to just frustrate the hell out of Malone. He was the only guy back then that could really handle Malone. And he'd full court press his ass every single play and just frustrated. And then when Malone would come up and knock into him, he would just flop over and fall down and Malone would get a couple quick fouls on him. Oh, God, he was pissed.
Well,
he
they were in a wrestling match together, those
two.
Yeah. There you go. So, Draymond, the villain card is you, my guy, and you don't want to you've crossed the line, my guy. You've been the habitual line stepper too far. And again, it's okay to, you know, play like physical, but it goes a little far whenever you're hitting guys in the nuts and, you know, doing other things, stepping people's chest. There has to be some situation that has to be kind of mitigated. And like we said, he's going to get counseling. He's going to come back. And I agree. Kind of, I think 2025, it does depend on how he responds to everything and how he responds to counseling. They're like, all right, you know, because again, if you do this again, then, you know, three strikes, we'll see if it's actually, you know, teetering on this guy's career. He's not going to play back in the NBA again, man. So,
interesting stuff
for a while.
Part of that's his personality.
Yeah.
You know, his personality is this fiery guy, and that's how he kind of gets himself up. That's how he kind of gets in there and gets in the mix with things. I mean, the positive side of that. Positive side is, you know, locking somebody down that's bigger than him. You know, these sort of things that he's done. Mm-hmm. If he goes to too much counseling and becomes back at this, you know, kinder, gentler,
softer,
then does he lose a little bit of that he's had?
That'd be hilarious. That'd be hilarious.
It's a line.
Hey,
he's got to walk. Yeah. You're right,
but
though.
That's
what it does. It's a line, right? That's tough.
You know, Dennis Rodman, he learned how to walk that line when he got to the Bulls, right? At that stage of his career, he knew how to be an instigator and an agitator to the other team, but he knew when he needed to cross that line, right? And that's why they were successful those last 3 years, you know, Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman together. He learned how to cross, he knew how far he can go, and that's what made that team so successful.
Yeah.
And, of course, he had Jordan and Pippen in his ear saying, hey, we need you.
And tackling him to the ground when he needed to.
Correct. Yes.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. All right, next topic. We spent enough on that. OKC voters approved the sales tax for $900 million to keep the Thunder in OKC for through, actually, 2050. This is interesting because you always got some people on both sides that say, hey, we got to pay taxes. You know, obviously, this is for the Oklahoma City Arena. There's not really much in Oklahoma City. But it's going to literally propose new stuff. It's going to propose business. It's going to propose a lot more income. It's kind of a win if you're looking at it from that perspective. Like, yo, get a chance to keep the squad. We have so much more business now. Suck the hell up, you know. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking about.
Yep.
You know, there's not a lot of – I mean, no offense. I mean, I got some family. There's not really a lot of Obama, you know. So, here you go.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how much, you know, these cities gain just by having – a team, a professional sports franchise in their cities, right? From a marketing
41
standpoint, the dollars,
concerts,
involved,
everything,
and
TV
if you really look at it, over 20 years ago, we didn't even think of Oklahoma City as a big league town, right? But obviously, during Hurricane Katrina, and they were the New Orleans Hornets at the time, and they played most of their home games in Oklahoma City, and man, they were selling out those games left and right. And Seattle saw that, man. It was like, whoa, that's our opportunity to move. And hey, there's a lot of oil and gas money in Oklahoma City, man. A lot of oil and gas companies headquartered there. So, I mean, there is money in that market. It's not a huge market, but there are businesses there that can sustain it. I mean, that fan base, trust me, they don't want to lose that team, and they'll pay the taxes. Yeah.
They don't have anything else. Like we took it, the oil and gas money, but that's also an opportunity to grow Oklahoma City as a market, right? And you can look at them. They got a young star in Shea, who, if they can keep him there, and they've got 85,000 damn first-round picks, like, they have the ability to keep a good team together for the next decade or so. So, I mean, you do that, and you say, hey, you know, people get attracted to it, and you try to get a population boom out of it, which helps with the taxes, because more people are there. They're going to pay money, the tax-wise, right, in the city. So it's an investment for sure, but it's not like they get other professional sports teams to lean on if that one goes away. So, yeah, that's a no-brainer. You got to spend that money, you know. I forget who it was. A fan got on there when they were talking about it, which team. He said, you know, this team is our child, and it's now time to pay child support. And I said, you can't say it no better than that. That is a child of your city, and now it's time to pay child support. And that's what it is.
And hey, as Jake, you mentioned, they're a good, young, talented squad, man. Shea Alexander, Gilchrist, and Chet Holmgren. I mean, they're second right now in the Western Conference and behind Minnesota. So this is a team with still a boatload of draft picks to go, right, here in this next decade.
Young talent.
So they are a team
that,
you know, when they feel like they're knocking on that door, they need to trade for a veteran star. First, you got to find a veteran star once to go to OKC, right? But, you know, but you're going to have the ammo to possibly get that team. I mean, right now, like I said, they're second in the West with who they have, and they have the ammo to get even better.
Right.
The 27 draft picks, right? Something crazy like that, man. It's nuts, man.
They just got to keep Giddy off the playground. That's all it is. If they keep Giddy off the playground, they'd be all right.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious as to what that equates to each taxpayer, what they actually would have to pay per year for to keep this team in there. I'm just interested in that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. Yeah, average. Because, like Rob said, you got a whole bunch of people from deep pockets around here that's going to pay more than their fair share of because they got that oil and gas money. So they'll be all right.
And every city does
they
that different.
Those deep pockets people, they won't be paying it. They won't be paying it. They know how to get out of it.
You know, and every city does that different. Every city does this different. Some cities I've known historically, they'll add an additional tax to rental cars. So the tourists will be the ones that will get paid the tax, right? So every city has done, I haven't looked into the details of who's going to be actually paying these taxes, but I've seen cities do that where they'll add it to hotels or they add it to rental cars. And actually the tourists that's coming in town will be the ones that'll be paying for it, not necessarily the locals.
Performing our tax or something, you know.
There's a lot of things happening as far as they're going to make the state of art, you know, sports and entertainment complex. They're talking about how I'm looking at it right now. So I'll look at the whole details about this too, Gary. But, yeah, I mean, they're contributing about $50 million. The management is – the OKC is – and then they're talking about adding a 1%, $70 million from previous money set down. Yeah, there's all these different things that are actually going on too, man. So it's actually pretty again, there's companies that aren't happy with everything, but like you said, JQ, it's like there's nothing there. It's going to bring so much more to the city. Over $513 million annually is what it says it's supposed to add to the city, which is nuts. So, just embrace it, man. Shut the hell up, man. Just, you know, be happy that you're actually.
And you know what
the
other piece of that idea is that they talked about the NHL expanding. So if you do that, you have a lot of NBA teams that share an arena with an NHL team. So if the NHL expands and, you know, you get a state-of-the-art arena, been there, and they put them on a list of maybe you have it there if you have a state-of-the-art arena. So, you know, I think it's all positive for Oklahoma City to do that. I don't think there's really any drawback.
The college teams can play there. You got college stuff that you play. The high school games can play. There's a lot of ways to make this happen, too, just to kind of like, you know,
get somebody
to play tournament or something like that. Yeah, I mean, you got to think big. Not just like,
you're not
going to
get a final four, though. You need a dome for that.
No, you ain't getting no back final four. But I mean, but you might be able to get like the Big 12 championship game every now and again if you can wrestle away from Dallas or something like that. You know what I mean? Like the AAC, you know, start small and then build it off from there. So you can get some multi-use out of that.
Absolutely.
OKC, it's a positive situation for sure, and you get to keep your team. So kudos to that, too. Because
so many of these new stadiums are building entertainment around the stadium, too. I mean, I haven't been to a Braves game in a new stadium, but I was in that area on Sunday night, that Battery area. I mean, it's really nice, right? And,
it's
you know,
crazy.
Tampa is trying to do the same thing with the Rays' new stadium. You've seen the Dodgers, not the Dodgers, the Lakers in L.A., everything they've built around. They're all the entertainment, L.A. Live. So it's Cleveland, even Cleveland, around their arena, too, of the entertainment that they have around that area as well. So I went to a game in Foxborough early this season, and they have shopping and entertainment in the middle of nowhere, Foxborough, Mass.
Wow. So, Rob, you were at the Roxy, right? Is that where you were at on Sunday?
Yeah.
I actually did it at the Roxy, by the way, which was
pretty
phenomenal. Great venue, man. It was crazy that I was DJing for this corporate party. There was like 1,000 people there. And it's like it was for doctors, right? It was for Resurgence Medical. So I'm literally on the stage, just me, my gear, just DJing for, like, it was nuts, man. And so they have like a green room back there, and so you have all these bands that sign, and they're like, you should sign your name. I'm like, me? Like, I'm nobody. Like, yeah, of course. I was like, literally, you sign your name as far as how you perform there, man. So that's like a highlight of me, because, you know, granted, this was like a couple years ago, but it was just nuts that being there DJing at the Roxy, and yeah, he's like, plug-in system, I got you, because these speakers are massive, literally. It's just like, I'm not bringing my speakers, I'm just plugging in their system. So yeah, we got you. So I'm doing sound check.
They can't even know who the new high roll is.
It's
great.
Travel
everywhere.
It was an honor, man.
Sky clubs everywhere you travel.
Like a thousand people.
The
Rock, I was like,
talking
man,
about
this
me.
Is crazy. Yeah, this is nuts. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. So you've seen that
wow.
experience, too. So it was just fun.
You see how the truth come out, huh? You got the truth come out.
not even that. Let's move on to fantasy shadows real quick. So, Rob, what did the fantasy shadows
come out at night?
Uh-oh.
That's the basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way the dribble looks down the court. Man. I could read the whole
fantasy.
I could wrap the whole Freaks Out of Night, too, man. So I'm just saying. Man. Love it. Later on.
All right.
America, later on.
Fantasy shout-outs. Really quick here. We saw fantasy basketball. The biggest win of the week was the champ is here. That's James in New Orleans had a 62 win over Past the Rock. And JQ's team, Ohio Players, sitting in first place, 45-18. League number one in fantasy football, Lions King, is Casey here in Atlanta, 192.36. Over Big Fast and Strong, 102.90. And I'm digging it. Steve in New Orleans, best record, 11-3. League number two, Black and Gold Patrol. That's Sean here in Atlanta, also known as Scary Daddy. The biggest win of the week, 98.34 over Pelly, 64.36. There's a story behind Scary Daddy. You know, he and I went to high school together, man. We went to high school where, you know, you get paddled. Man, he was scared of that board, man.
Hey, that's a smart dude, whatever.
I mean, to this day, we still call him Scary Daddy. But anyway, Scary Daddy's in first place, too, at 12-2. League number three, my team, Up On Game, 126.50 over Irvin's team, 79.20. And the Kings team is Juan in Tampa. He's in first place, 11-3. And last but not least, league number four, We Want All the Smoke. That's Rashad in Atlanta. Got the biggest win of the week, 114.42. The Birds flew south, 37.90. D-Squad, that's Will in Madison, Wisconsin, in first place with 11-3 record. So we're going into the playoffs this weekend in fantasy football.
Yeah, man. What I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Man, I won all my games, though, man. That's another one. Like, what? I was like, yes! That's okay. I may not be in the tops, but I won all my games. All that matters. I was like, oh, pulling out some stuff. Pulling it out. I love it. let's fly to this really, really quickly here, because we got to get through predictions, and I want to kind of fire through all these topics here. So we don't have to talk as much. If you want to kind of do a quick thing about Jet defense was really electric, obviously, shutting down C.J. Stroud. Unfortunately, they were able to, man, they just put a whipping on him. You know, was it 30-6 or something crazy like that? Really handled the Texans, if you will, too. So really quickly, we'll talk about that, and we'll get to the next couple topics here. So one, you know, really fast about this. Go ahead.
Hey, Zach Wilson probably had the best in his career. Threw for over 300-something yards and 2 touchdowns to, you know, completed like 75% of his passes. I mean, hey, that's, we've known that the Jets could get a little bit of quarterback play. Their defense was good, right? And so,
yeah.
Can't he put 2 games like this back-to-back? He hasn't done that his whole career. So, you know, that would be the big test. But I can, his defense was definitely ecstatic over his performance and hoping they can continue that. But they got a tough one this weekend against the Dolphins.
Yeah, as
the, even
as
the blind man can find water once in a while.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I think what you saw with him was that's the first time I really felt like I saw him play free, right, without expectations, without looking over his shoulder, because all I ever had to do sucked. So he didn't have any fear of somebody that could come in and make him look bad coming off the bench. He just played free. And, yeah, of course the defense is ecstatic because it's like, man, if we can just get that from the get-go, we will be in the conversation for, you know, one of the best records for the defense is stacked. So, you know, good on Zach for having a good game. Like you said, let's see if he can keep it up.
I'm not going to bet on it.
No, I just said we're going to bet on it.
There it is. Hey, Gary, where will Bill Belichick be next season?
I know. I'm waiting for.
You know, I don't know if he's going to – I have no idea where he's going to be. You know, maybe he'll go to San Diego and straighten those guys out since he's a genius.
It'll be L.A.
Or L.A. You know, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a genius.
Yeah.
They all thought he was a genius until we didn't have Brady anymore, and they realized, oh, gosh, we made a mistake. I guess he's not that good. You get 20 years with the GOAT, you know, covers up a lot of stuff. Without him, he's just
but
a coach. He's not a very good coach. He's not very good at drafting.
75-year-old coach.
Well, somebody
the Chargers would, because they need it. No, the Chargers most definitely will to try to save some face. And you got to think about it. If he's willing to not be the GM, I think that's a good move for him to go there, because you give him them and Keenan Allen, and then you also give him Bosa and Mack. The Sankey, who, if he was just learning how to take his head up when he makes those big old hits, Derwin James. So he's got pieces on that defense to play with for sure. And that New England defense is playing good ball. It's just about if he goes there, will he hire somebody that's worth a damn that's OC, and will he stay in line with the GM? Because he can't be the GM no more. Like, he can't be the GM no more, bro. It's over. So if he's willing to do those things, I think the Chargers is a sneaky good spot for him. I wish he could go to the NFC. But the Chargers,
that would be the most
be the
attractive job for
Gary.
Anybody.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a big hit
really
after
to
the Staley problem. He should have waited, but you know that's on Sean. Sean's ready to go coach. But if I'm Belichick, I'm going to at least let the Chargers talk to me about it. For sure,
That would be the most attractive job probably. Based on the quarterback that they have. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. I thought you were going to say strip club or something like that, Gary. So that's pretty – I'm glad that you kept it pretty classy. So,
no, that's
the second choice.
Second choice.
Hang out with Robert Kraft or something like that. Hey, so really big news. The NFL announces the first ever game in Brazil for 2024. Go ahead, Rob. This is interesting. This sounds like a – nope. JQ was shaking his head. You're not a fan of that?
Man, because you know I'm going to say something wild. That is going to be crazy. You're going to have to chaperone those dudes in Brazil, bro. Like Germany and London and all that, that's all well and good. You sitting all them dudes down in Brazil?
I know.
I'm going to Brazil. Where's your wife? She's not here. She's not coming. No, bye.
No, at all.
They're not letting wives go to that. They're not.
Me.
No, you better watch out the 9 and 10 months after that game and see the population boom.
That's
happens.
What I'd be saying.
For real.
That's what
I'd
be
saying.
Sorry.
We got a whole other NBA, a whole other NFL players. I don't know how it happened. Yeah. Don't sit in there early.
Man,
oh, my God.
Giannis, 64 points tonight. Wow.
Yeah, he's going to
let Rob change the subject. Yeah.
But this is big.
No,
for,
but I mean, the
know,
thing about it is, the outreach program is what they're doing. And I mean, it makes sense. But again, Germany is paying to go to. London is paying. But going to Brazil would be wild. Like, I need a hard knock or something behind that, which is to a preparation for it, because that's going to be nuts.
Yeah, bro, do not send those boys down there with those juicy booties.
Sao Paulo is not Rio, though. And, you know, they're going to play the game in Sao Paulo. And I've been to both. And Rio is really more your party fun destination. Uh-huh. Well, Sao Paulo is just a huge city, man. It's got over 22 million people. It's like more than New York City. I mean, it's one of the largest cities in the world, right?
Yeah, and there's a hell of a lot of clubs down there.
Even more.
I wouldn't know. I'm going to have to go visit just to make sure.
Yeah. But ultimately, this is about exposure. You know, one thing you got to give David Stern a lot of credit in the NBA. I mean, NBA, man, you look at the players that's coming into the league, man. They're coming from all over the world. And pretty soon, that's what football wants to be like, right? They want players from all over the world. They want that global exposure. And right now, you're starting to see it, right? You know, I'm traveling through Europe, man. There are a lot of NFL fans in Europe. And other parts of the world still haven't gotten that just yet. So I think it's a smart move by the dictator. By going to Brazil and adding more games, probably in Asia coming up here soon too. So it's really about, you know, the exposure to games. And like I said, Sao Paulo is a huge market. You're talking over 22 to 24 million people. It's right up there with Tokyo, Mexico City, when you talk about population, right? So I mean, it's big. In 2025, they're talking about going to 9 international games. So, you know, next year they're going to do it. And then 2025, they're talking about 9 international games.
They're going to go to multiple buys if they do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, really quickly, L.A. to host 2027 Super Bowl, Gary. Talk about that.
L.A. is a big market city. It's a great city. The stadium's nice. You know, it holds over 70,000. I think it should be, that's a win-win. I think it's a 70,240-seat stadium. SoFi, it's a beautiful facility. I think it's a, you know, I think it's a win for the city to get that. They don't need any more wins.
So, I mean, it's LA, and people want to go to LA to hang out, superstars, party. But my thing about it is this. For these big events, and I think, put it somewhere nice and warm, like the L.A.s, the Phoenixes, the Miamis, the Tampas, you know, New Orleans is inside, you know, it's not going to be too cold in February. All this, let's go play in the snow in February, and people don't want to travel to it. Nobody wants to get stuck trying to get in and out of that city and go sit outside. When it's 5 degrees, L.A. should get it probably every 4 to 5 years anyway. So, yeah, okay, good job, NFL, for going to a nice, big, warm market city. Like, sure.
Man, you just eliminated Green Bay from ever getting the Super Bowl, man.
I've been up there, and it was summer, hot, but I can see where that would be rough, getting in and out of flying into Milwaukee and having to drive when it's -3 degrees and you slipping off the road trying to get up to damn Green Bay and they ain't got but 5 hotels. Hell no.
I'm being facetious, you know that. But yeah, I mean, Terrell Davis said it best. He said it best, you know, a few years ago. He said it should be a 4-city rotation, Miami, New Orleans, San Diego, and L.A. It should be the 4 cities. But, you know, right now you got to include Las Vegas.
I disagree with New Orleans.
Four, you know.
I would say Tampa and Phoenix, too.
Yeah, you
got to
add Tampa. You got to add Phoenix. Yeah, come on.
Any of the warm cities, you know, that.
Come on.
Don't go to some cold-ass city like they did a few years ago. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
New York.
Get the hell out of here.
Right. That's not right.
No. Yeah.
All right. Next. Let's talk about really quickly the NBA, the NFL
Most Valuable Player candidates. Let's see here. We got I'm going to fire these really quickly, Gary. I got Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and I got Tyreek Hill because you saw how the freaking Dolphins had put it whenever he was out, but you know, whether him or Tua, but that's what I've got for my thought.
Yeah,
that's what I got.
Hey, I had Brock Purdy in my five until there was facts that Jake Houston tonight made me drop Brock Purdy down a little bit. So, like, wait a minute, man. Jim Garoppolo opened up the same numbers in the same offense.
No.
But with Kyle McCaffrey and IU.
But I would argue, though, last year you kind of saw how, again, the 49ers imploded without having Brock Purdy in there, too, so in the playoffs. So, you know, he is a valuable piece of that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
because
he had no
quarterback. He does make some great throws. Well, again.
He had no quarterback
to,
in
yeah,
that game.
Still, but, you know, Brock Purdy's done some amazing things, and you can't argue the fact that he makes some pretty amazing – not amazing,
yeah.
He makes some really good throws, too. So
he does. He's
going to
always be
in
it because he's the quarterback, and it's the quarterback award pretty much now. So when you're the quarterback of a really good team, everybody's talking about, and they feel like it's the leader in the clubhouse at the moment to come out to the NFC, he's going to be – unless he just is awful. But he's putting up decent enough numbers with them with their yak yard. They're really doing it for him with the yak because he's throwing like 4 or 5 yards sometimes. They're taking it to the house for him, too. But with the numbers he's putting up on that team, the way they are murdering people right now, he's going to always be in it. But I honestly, Dak is playing fantastic football for the Cowboys. To me, he's got to be the leader in the clubhouse right now. That game against Philadelphia, he's had a chance. He's going to have a chance down the stretch. I think he's the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I have McCaffrey, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, and Tariq Hill, kind of the same names. But, you know, after seeing that, it kind of made me want to drop Brock down a little bit.
Thanks, JQ.
I didn't mean to influence you.
No. You know, and again, I'm still tripping out whenever you look at the freaking, who is it? Patrick Mahomes, you're like, man, you're hoping he doesn't. Man, that dude needs some help, man, for wide receivers, man. That dude looks this is terrible, man. To see,
man.
You know, they're going to be dropping all wide receivers,
that.
You know.
Stop taking all the money. If he would leave some money on the table, he could have kept Tyreek Hill. You take all the money, and that's what happens. You can't keep Kelce and Hill. So you say, I'm keeping Kelce. Well, now your wide receivers are trash. So,
you know what else with Kansas City, too, that you don't hear a lot of people saying? But Travis Kelce is getting old right in front of our eyes. You know, he's slow. He's not coming out of his breaks as fast as he used to. I mean, he is 34 years old, right? He's not coming out of his breaks as fast as he used to, and that was just his go-to guy, right? And, yeah, he's getting old, just like Cam Jordan with the Saints, man. He needs to be on the bench. But they're getting old right in front of our eyes, man. And you can see it with Travis Kelce. And then they don't have any other weapons. I mean, Rashee Rice hasn't stepped up to be that guy just yet. What's the other guy? Sky Moore. Those young guys just
got
marked up to be the guy.
They got
and Watson.
They're gonna be drafting. They're gonna draft like 5 wide receivers next year. Just make sure somebody sticks. That's the plan. Brand new wide receiver.
But you know what?
Or make some trades. Go ahead.
I think for Kelce though, remember he rolled his ankle. But he doesn't have the opportunity to sit out and get healthy because if he isn't playing, God bless. So them not having another weapon where they could say, hey, man, we can make this a 1 or 2-game stretch and let you go into the hyperbaric chamber or whatever we need to do to let you go up a little bit. I don't think he looked right since he got hurt. So it might not be until next year before you see him more healthy again, but there's nobody else to take the pressure off of him. So he's got to suck up and play. And I think that's to your point, Rob, is that ankle is bothering him, and that's why he's not able to get in and out of those breaks as well.
Yep.
Well, the only thing I would say about Mahomes is he showed me something I didn't like this last week. With his antics and screaming and yelling, and even instead of saying, hey, congratulations on your win to the quarterback on the other side, you know, Allen, he's talking about the play that he didn't get, where the guy was clearly offsides. Now,
clearly,
this is what I say about that. Yeah, there are plays that they let go, and, you know, especially, when the clock's winding down, they give you a little beat. But that guy was clearly offsides. The referee had every right to call that. you know, that. And he called it, you know, he threw the throw on that flag as soon as they hiked the ball. So before they even had that miraculous play, that flag was already up and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that him and Andy Reid showed no class in that situation because they had ample opportunity to go back between that and the time they had their press conferences 10, 15 minutes later. And I'm positive they reviewed that play and they could see that that guy was where he was at.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until what the next day, you know, where he said, well, you know, I need to act different, you know, I'm a role model and this sort of thing. I think that was more, that might have been for that.
PR.
But I tend to think it was more lessen the blow of maybe a fine maybe coming up more than, you know, I want to be the role model.
I want to go bad. Yeah.
I don't know, Gary. It's tough because in the
agree.
Moment, man, you know, you're playing football and you know, you can go both sides of the stuff. I get it. Like, you know, you're like, yo, man, you know, because there's a lot of emotion in that, too, and it was a great play. You get it. Like, yeah, the flag was thrown. A lot of times there's everything went wrong with that play. Normally you check as a wide receiver to say, hey, am I on, you know, maybe who knows what happened to that, too. So, you know, I do see the side as far as, you know, hey, at that particular time, maybe, you know, you're kind of, your emotions are kind of, you know, you just lost the game. And he did come back and say, I apologize. You know, I was out of line. I should apologize to Josh because, you know, I didn't handle that correctly too. So at least he did kind of recognize in that instance. But like I said, he's the moment, man. It's you lost the game, man, on that one play, you know. So and it was a great play too. So it's just kind of like, man, it kind of sucks that, you know, that happened from that, you know, that perspective for sure. So it is what it is.
Well, you know, I played a lot of sports. Won a lot and lost a lot.
You lose a lot. Yeah, you did.
And when you lose, if you lose and you've given it your all, which, you know, with no wide receivers and one beat-up tight end, they gave it, you know, they gave it their all. They lost on a, you know, a penalty. But in that, during that play, that receiver that was offside, he was the one that caught the touchdown pass. But before Kelsey threw that lateral pass to him, he was standing there kind of throwing the fifth and he didn't get the ball.
Yes,
then
he
got the ball, then he ran it in. So he was already, you know, throwing the fifth. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not. But I
did.
No,
come on, I did. Man. I saw it. He was pouting 100%.
Yeah. So, it's crazy because, you know, I know we're going to kind of go into those little off-off because you think about Frank Wycheck, right, who passed. HP2, you think about the music scene,
yeah.
That was a crazy situation, how you throw across your body, you know, he was a favorite of, like, you know, the late Steve McNair. It's just crazy to kind of reminisce about, you know, great plays as far as how close that play was whenever he throws it kind of back. Like, he was on the line, he was, you know, so you're just like, this is crazy
Kevin
about
Dyson.
That too. So kind of brought back Kevin Dyson and Titans, and they just whipped up on, you know, the Jaguars. They had a Jaguars number that year. They just whipped up everyone. I think they beat the Steelers too. It was crazy to see them kind of make that run for the Super Bowl. You know, obviously,
yeah.
Play the Rams in that great game too. But, you know, anyway, I digress. Let's get through some predictions here. Really big game out the gate here. We got, man, that was just a terrible game. Vikings won, what, 3-0 versus the Raiders. That was pretty terrible. They go
that
against the Bengals. And Jake Bryant was playing well, man. I think the Bengals, you know, we kind of left them for dead, and they, you know, damn, all right. You know, Bengals, they should whip up on the Vikings in this instance because, you know, again, you know, I'm just saying, you know, right now, I'm thinking, right, you know, JQ, what, man, what you got?
Well, no, I think they should win the game, but what I will not discount is that Justin Jefferson said he's going to play, and he wants to play because he wants to outshine Jamar Chase. When they go head to head, you know, with that whole LSU rivalry thing there. So I think
not
Justin
with Nick
Mullins
at quarterback, he won't.
Exactly.
Stop it, man. You can just throw it anywhere near Justin Jefferson. The problem is, I just don't really think the Minnesota run game is well good enough to keep the Bengals defense, which isn't great enough off balance, and they're playing in Cincinnati. But I think it's going to be a closer game than you think. I think Cincinnati wins by like 4, but it's not going to be a blowout though.
Oh, I like Cincinnati by 10 points in this game. I'm going to go 24-14 Cincinnati. Jake Browning, I mean, Chris Peterson, his college coach, has said, hey, I knew it all along, right? That, you know, he had this kind of potential.
Sure, Chris.
You know, he's finally getting that opportunity. I will say this, though, you know, I mean, before the season, obviously we thought this was going to be a Kirk Cousins versus Joe Burrow game. Now we got Nick Mullins against Jake Browning, right? But if Browning plays playing at this level, I think he's playing on this level, then obviously there are going to be some teams calling for him to be a starter in this league. I mean, we got a lot of teams in this league that need their starting quarterback right now. So, I mean, obviously we got a small sample size over these last couple of weeks. You know, we have to see how he finishes his regular season off. We got four games left. And possibly, I mean, the Bengals are definitely playing better than the Steelers right now, who is, I think, in the top seven. They just whipped the Colts' ass, who's also in the top seven right now. And so, I mean, they could easily get back into this playoff conversation. Obviously, Baltimore already beat them twice, so they probably still won't win a division. But they have an opportunity here to get into the playoffs. And if Jake Browning continues to shine, he already paid Joe Burrow a boatload of money. So Browning will be the guy that you can possibly trade and get a second-round pick for. Unfortunately, that will be a tough decision because you like to have a good backup. But at some point, if he keeps playing like that, other teams are going to want to be a starter, and he's going to want to be a starter too.
Bump the brakes. He's no Cooper Rush. Go ahead, Gary. What are your thoughts, man?
Wow.
I'm going with Cincinnati as well. And I think they're going to win probably 24-10.
I hope y'all are right.
Both teams, that's my pick. I think that's going to be pretty close.
I think they should handle them, man. I think they should handle the Vikings. I'll get
Vikings defense is pretty good, though.
They are.
Good.
I will say that.
Brian
Flores is doing a phenomenal job with that defense.
So it's a battle of attrition at this point too, if you roll coverage to Jamar Chase, you got to think who else can, there's a lot, man, so we'll see. Because Jamar, he's just, that dude's a beast. Steelers at the Colts. This is another interesting game here. Different, we were supposed to be Kenny Pickett versus Anthony Richardson. Not the case. Trubisky, Minshew, what the hell is going on with the Steelers right now too? Go ahead. JQ, what are your thoughts, man?
Hey. Go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was just going to say, the Steelers last couple of weeks have lost to the Cardinals and the Patriots. I mean, two of the worst two teams in the league. I mean, and they're struggling to score points here. And I don't see that changing. I mean, their defense is good. I trust Minshew a little bit more than I do Trubisky. And I like that Colts offensive line. And even without Jonathan Taylor, I think Zach Moss is good enough to get the job done. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I'm going to go with the Colts, 17-9.
I'm going to go with the Steelers and T.J. Watt, and them not losing three games in a row. And then Ben Roethlisberger talking about how the Pittsburgh way might be dead. I think he did that on purpose to get them fired up and send a kind of little soul shot through the media to him. I just don't see Mike Tomlin. I mean, yes, that dude is, I hate him, but that dude has never had a losing season. So they're going to find a way to beat the Colts. I watched the Minshew and them, and they just – they really need Jonathan Taylor back. Like, Zach Moss has been a good story early on for us fantasy players, but they need Jonathan Taylor back. And not having him makes them really more one-dimensional. I mean, it's inside, so it should be a faster track. And I agree, Trubisky is trash, but I don't know if the Colts defense is good enough to take advantage of Trubisky being bad, right? So I feel like the Steelers can go into Indianapolis and steal the game, and then they're going to have – they might be 50-50 because Steelers fans are going to travel. It's not that long of a drive from Western Pennsylvania going to Indianapolis. So – as much as I hate to say it, I think Pittsburgh is on track this week.
You know, the interesting thing about the Colts defense, though, their front seven is actually pretty good. It's their secondary that's weak. But Pittsburgh can't complete a pass more than 5 yards down the field. And so
Deontay and Pickett would chill out.
Yeah. The Steelers' weakness may play into the Colts' weakness, right? Because the Colts' weakness is their secondary. They just can't defend anybody. But their front seven is actually pretty good.
I'm taking the Colts 13-9.
I love it, Gary. All right. That's true. This is another interesting matchup. We got the Broncos at the Lions. Craziness. Gary, you want to start with that one, man?
I'm taking the Broncos on the road in this one. The Lions are struggling right now. And, and their defense is really hurting right now. Lions defense, and all of a sudden their offense is even struggling too. And Sean Payton's got the Broncos. I think they've won 6 out of the last 7 right now. Vance Joseph done a tremendous job with that defense. They revamped that whole defense after they gave up 70 points. They benched a lot of veterans and sent them all on the road. And not only benched some, they cut some, too. And
I feel like they had to go. Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah, I like the Lions. Dan Campbell was on Sean Payton's staff in New Orleans. And these two guys don't want to show each other up, but hey, I just think Denver is just playing better football, and Detroit may be thinking at a bad time right now. So I like Denver on the road.
Everything you just said, I agree.
Well, I don't believe in golf. I really don't believe in Wilson either, though, anymore. But he has shown some promise as of late, you know, actually throwing some deep balls and stuff, which is – I didn't think he could throw 15 yards anymore. But Sean Payton's done – I initially underlined on my notes both teams because I wasn't sure how this was going to go. You know, it's hard to win on the road. I'm going to go with the Lions in a close one.
Oh, wow. Okay. 23-21. Okay. All right, Gary. Good stuff.
I put down here Cowboys at Lions, but obviously y'all know that's supposed to be
Cowboys
at
Bills. Yeah, Cowboys and Bills. Yeah, we know what you're not. I know what you meant. Yeah, go ahead. So go ahead, Gary. This is your one. This is yours, man. What you think about this one?
I'll go last. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, man. Go ahead, JQ.
I'm going to take the Cowboys. And the reason why I'm going to take the Cowboys is because as good as Josh Allen is, he's going to turn the ball over. And Dallas is so opportunistic at getting turnovers, not only getting turnovers, but taking them to the house, or just entirely flipping the field position for that offense. And Dak is playing at an MVP level. I said he was the leader in the clubhouse. I know it. I'm going to take the Cowboys in a close game. I just think Josh Allen makes a couple mistakes that the Cowboys cash in on.
Yeah, I like Dallas in this game, too. It's not going to be as cold as you would normally be in Buffalo this time of year, but it looks like it's going to be raining there on Sunday. So it looks like it's going to be between 41 and 50 degrees on Sunday, and I think Dallas will be able to manage in that and deal with the rain. But Dak is just playing at his, probably his best in his career as far as throwing the football. His decision-making has just been top-notch. And Dan Quinn has got that defense rolling, too. And, hey, in my opinion, there's only 3 teams that's playing at a really good level right now. That's the 49ers, Dallas, and maybe Baltimore. And Baltimore is a little iffy, too. But right now I just think Dallas is just in that elite category right now.
Yep.
Well, I've circled this game because – you know, Allen's one of those quarterbacks that can, he's a running quarterback, and he can, you know, if they leave a little lane open for him and he doesn't have a receiver open, he can take off running, and he can also dish out some punishment along the way because he's a big guy. I'm concerned about that. I know they'll plan for that. They'll try to plan for that. To me, this is going to be a test, because Dallas had to kind of work their way into that company where they're at now with the 49ers and the Ravens and, we'll say, Philadelphia as of last week. They had to build themselves to that. I've circled this one because this game right here is going to, in my mind, is going to determine on the road, number one, because they're good at home, on the road playing against a team that's fighting for a playoff spot, that's hungry, that's got a quarterback that's a gunslinger. I'm going to circle that the Cowboys are going to win. I'm hoping that it's a decisive enough win to where I can say, hey, because I text Rob after the game last week, and I asked him, you know, what do you think? You know, how do you think my team looked? You think they could compete with the Niners? You know, this game to me, a game like this on the road will, in my mind, will determine that for me as a Cowboy fan. on the road against a good quarterback like that, that is mobile. If they can do that, then I think they can compete with anybody.
Good night, people.
Gary took the full 2 minutes. Took the full 2 minutes to get that out.
That's why you said the other people last. Right? You did a lot on that one.
Oh, man.
You're welcome, folks.
Wow.
I don't even think JQ had that much on his bingo.
We're all going for the Cowboys.
Well, I wouldn't either if my team were the Bengals.
Oh, see.
Oh. Shots fired.
Okay.
Shots fired.
I was sending my pick. I'm going with the Bengals.
You mean the Bills?
I'm with you.
The Bills. You mean the Bills, right? You mean the Bills? What you mean? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's do this last one, and then we'll do a quick topic here. The Ravens and the Jaguars. Really quick, Rob. Go ahead and talk this out.
Yeah, this is one I've been struggling with. I wasn't overly impressed with the way the Ravens played defense against the Rams this past week. I mean, obviously that game went into overtime, and so I've been kind of back and forth on this one. Yeah. I think it's going to be a real close football game. I think Jacksonville, you know, has lost two in a row too, so I think they're going to be really competitive in this game. But I think when it's all said and done, I think the Ravens squeak out another win. But I think Jacksonville is going to be really competitive in this game to try to turn it around. They've lost two in a row. They lost on the road against Cleveland. But I think Baltimore wins maybe 24-21.
I would think it would be a blowout if the Ravens hadn't lost Kyle Hamilton in the middle of that defense. Losing him, especially with the way Evan Engram is emerging for Jacksonville, is probably, I think, Jacksonville's only hope is to try that. But you still got Roquan patrolling that middle with his punk ass. So I don't know. I just feel like that. I feel like the Ravens' mindset, and I don't think Cleveland did enough of it. I think they're going to blitz and blitz and blitz some more because that dude's still coming off a high ankle sprain. And he looked a little spry. But he's still hobbled. So if I'm the Ravens and my identity is to attack anyway, I'm going to go into that game. It's supposed to be raining, I believe, in Florida, you know, on Sunday coming up the East Coast. We're going to go in there and we're going to attack. They've lost Christian Kirksey. They lost the deep threat. I mean, Ridley is still Ridley. And Engram is decent. But Etienne is a little up and down in terms of his production. I think the Ravens win that game by 7 to 10 points. I do. Because it goes into their attacking mentality with a hurt quarterback. I think they're going to say, I smell blood and water. We're coming after you every play. Let's see how that ankle holds up.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, with the lack of mobility in that Ravens, you know, that Ravens defense, I'm picking the Ravens as well, you know.
Yep.
By 10.
For me as well. Anyway. Really quickly.
Hey, you got to think about it. They let Jake Browning light them up in Jacksonville for over 350 yards. Right, and then they just let Joe Flacco throw some pretty deep balls on them last week in Cleveland. So if you're going to let Joe Flacco and Jake Browning do that to you, what the hell is DeMar Jackson going to do to that defense that's just been getting bummed for us the last 2 weeks? So it's also that piece of it, that Jacksonville defense, I think, has come back down to earth a little bit. I think we thought they was a little better than they were in the beginning of the year. But playing that AFC North the past 3 weeks is starting to show that it's a little different ballgame.
Really quickly, we kind of pick a topic here. I just wanted to say two things I wanted to say about it's going to be a tough road for AFC because you got 6, 7, and 6 teams fighting for 2 playoff spots. That's going to be rough, especially going into that. I mean, we can dissect that. Like, there's like 20 minutes to talk about the whole AFC playoff picture, but it's crazy how, you know, what's happening and, you know, in the AFC South and who's in top and just it's nuts right there. But you got 6, 7, and 6 teams fighting for 2 playoff spots. That's going to be crazy. And Dominic Ravioli, he's
he's a jackass.
Number one QB from
Ravioli.
Yeah, it's crazy how he moved. No, I'm making it up. But he moved from Arizona to Georgia to go to Buford. And then now Nebraska's like, hey, you know, so he's that's not good, man. And maybe it has something to do with Carson Beck coming back. Yeah, Carson played well versus Alabama. There could have been an opportunity where he may have dipped his toe in the water for the NFL, but because they lost to Alabama, you know, he's coming back. So it's a crazy story, right, how that's happening, too. So, you know, it's a freaking young kid. And Nebraska, obviously, Jeff Sims underachieved so much. And if you're Matt Rhule, you're like, yo, I got to get something, man. So he's probably going to – you're not letting that kid leave Nebraska
if I'm Matt Rule.
Bro,
so,
you missed
whatever,
the first
part of that.
He committed to Ohio State. He committed to Ohio State first.
That's right. That's right. So that dude doesn't know what he – yeah, but yeah, that dude. So,
well,
anyway,
you know, his dad played at Nebraska, and his uncle was a coach at Nebraska,
yep.
offensive line coach.
Well,
so there's a lot of family ties
yep.
there in Nebraska.
Bye-bye.
And we already saw the backup quarterback at Georgia transfer to Kentucky. He was a five-star recruit and because Carson Beck's coming back. So, and Nebraska hasn't had a quarterback since Tommy Frazier. Maybe they have one or two after him, Scott Frost or somebody like that, but –
yeah,
Eric Crouch. I think
Heisman.
He
who's got the one
with
Eric Crouch with Heisman? Is that him that won the Heisman?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I've been Eric Crouch won
Eric Crouch. Was there somebody else? That was
it's crazy
in
Nebraska because Kyle McCord went to Nebraska to visit and then left. So I don't know if that means because he knows the rival is coming from Buford to go to Nebraska. So if Nebraska's in the middle of a whole lot of quarterback conversation right now, but. You know, I guess, but Kentucky, like you talked about it, Trayton transferred from Ohio State to be the running back at Kentucky. Now they're getting Georgia's quarterback to be at Kentucky. So Stoops is real deep in this transfer portal trying to build that Kentucky program. But I found it interesting. The portal is wild.
Yep, it is wild. And, hey, Deion Sanders already has been heavy in the portal. He's got five offensive linemen already in the transfer portal to commit to Colorado. And it looks like Shedeur Sanders is coming back to Colorado, and that's the thing that mm-hmm. they had to fix, right? They had to fix that offensive line, and he's already got five commitments coming in the transfer portal. Tyler Van Dyke, y'all quarterback of Miami, going to Wisconsin. You know, we'll see what happens there.
Good.
Dylan Gabriel going to Oregon.
Thank God. Thank God. I saw that.
Wow.
Oh, I thought I should open a bottle of champagne.
2 years ago, scouts thought he was a first-round draft pick, too. So we'll see if Tyler Van Dyke revives his career. Yeah.
Nope.
It happened before
won't.
In the transfer portal. Riley Leonard going to Notre Dame.
That's crazy. Yeah, all right.
I'm really interested in what's going on with Ohio State and Ward because he hasn't said anything, and they haven't said anything about him. I know they're trying to give Devin Brown a chance in his Cotton Bowl. We'll show what he can do, but I don't think he holds a candle to Cam Ward. So I'm my fingers are crossed that Ward goes to Ohio State, but we'll see.
That's a big get if Ward makes it to Ohio State, man, because, you know, that's going to be,
yeah.
you know.
I think Ward has that potential. I mean, we've seen five out of the last seven Heisman winners with transfer quarterbacks, and Ward is one of those guys that I think could be that type of quarterback. I think he's very underrated in Washington State, and I think going to any type of elite program, whether it's Ohio State, whether it's the Michigan or whether it's the SEC school, I think he could be that type of quarterback to take that next step for elevation.
That's why I go to Florida State.
Yeah, yeah. Rumor has it that Florida State, they're going to have to DJ, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. They're going to have to –
If
you
they choose DJ over Ward, then he's an asshole. Come on, man.
Oh, man.
I'd rather have Ward. If you give Ward with his abilities and weapons and a defense to keep him in games, I think you would see Ward. I like you said, with Jane Daniels at LSU, those people, the things you mentioned, Rob, I think if he goes to a upper echelon team, with what he brings to the table and give him some weapons and a modicum of a defense, I think he would be successful. So I'm interested to see where he ends up at.
Yep.
Well, all right. Indications are is every time the news has been on out west, it's been they've talked about the Buckeyes. Every one of them has. They haven't really. I haven't heard him mention any other schools except the Buckeyes. So.
I'm bringing Ronde not to mess it up. Because what happens if he does that, then does Brown stay to Duke, stay for the Cotton Bowl, or does he say FU, and then he leaves, and now we're down two quarterbacks, and then the Cotton Bowl becomes unwatchable because we don't have a quarterback. So I think that's maybe part of the delay on the Ohio State side so that they don't get caught in the trick bag without a quarterback. If I'm Devin Brown and you tell me Ward is coming, that basically means I got, or do you say I stay and go into the portal after the game, and give myself a chance to showcase my ability and then go into the portal and have people come after me. So it's a lot of balls in the air. So we'll see what Ryan Day does. But I would go after Ward personally.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you heard this today, JQ. Another name that's being thrown around in Ohio State is Malik Murphy. He just entered the portal today. He won't be playing. He won't be the backup quarterback for Texas in the college football playoffs. I mean, I thought that was huge for him to make that announcement now, as opposed to, you know, maybe helping the team, you know, possibly win a national championship. But Quinn Ewers is saying he's coming back next year, and now Malik Murphy has entered the portal, and some people are connecting him to Ohio State as well.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed in him for that. Like, if you're not in the, if you're not in the college football playoffs and you want to move, then God bless. I get that. But if you're one of those four teams, man, you got to see that thing through. So a piece of it is, like, I don't trust your decision-making if you're going to leave your team. Like, you made it to the promised land. You know what I'm saying? You got to be in it to win it. Mm-hmm. So to walk away with the playoffs still in reach, you never know. It's one hit, and now you're on prime time, or you get some wildcat packages or something. I'm not a fan of leaving your team when you're in the college football playoffs. That's disappointing.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Yeah,
I
agree. All right, gentlemen, anything else before we wrap this thing up? Good stuff.
Nope.
All right, well, have a great, great week. Do we have a ton of games on Saturday for the NFL, too? It's crazy, right? Is that this week?
Three games. Bengals, Vikings at one.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing, so it's good to see that, too. So,
all three games are two teams with above 500 records, too.
Yeah, man.
I love Saturdays in December. You always going to get some NFL action.
It is. Finally off, too. So, good stuff. Guys, have a great rest of your week. I'm sure we'll be texting back and forth all the time. So, the next time, we'll see you guys same time, same channel. Be good.
All right, fellas. Talk to y'all later.
Good night.
Good night, people.